Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
You can't count on much these days.
No way, Jim! This is incredible!
But you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus.
Here we go! This time for real!
Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday, starting with a classic Week 1 NFC North rivalry between the Lions and the Packers. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today and count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Rico Bronya's presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. Make every moment more.
At Blinds.com, it's not just about window treatments. It's about you, your style, your space, your way. Whether you DIY or want the pros to handle it all, you'll have the confidence of knowing it's done right. From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 40% off site-wide, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Hey everyone, it's Boomer and Geo, and if you're into New York sports or you want straight talk about what's really going on in the sports world, Boomer and Geo is your show.
We're covering it all. Yankees wins, Giants drama, national headlines, and whatever chaos the day brings on the field and off.
No filler, no filters, just real conversation, and believe me, plenty of laughs every weekday morning.
We don't hold back, and we don't waste your time. We get to what actually matters.
That's Boomer and Geo, and you can listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
It's the Amazing Rico Bronya Podcast with your host, Evan Roberts.
How's everybody doing? We're all happy. We're feeling good. Here's the good news. We're not dead. All right. The good news is we're breathing. Life still goes on. But if you are a New York Mets fan who happens to share fandom with the garbage football team in green, we experienced one of the worst 15-minute sequences that could actually happen in sports. But I'll get into the Jets with Tiki on Monday. Right now, to the New York Mets, to Carlos Mendoza, to David Stearns, to Steve Cohen, and to all 27 wonderful players, I want to congratulate you. Congratulations. Because somehow, some way, you've topped it all. After dramatically beating the Rangers a week ago on an Alonso walk-off, after winning a series against San Diego, after taking the opener on Friday night, you managed somehow, some way, though none of us should be surprised, to hit another brand new low. The Mets lose 2 out of 3 to a horrible baseball team, the Washington Nationals. The Cincinnati Reds, tip your hat to those sons of bitches, go home, play the Cubs, and sweep them out of the building. And so congratulations to the 2025 New York Mets for a few things. Number one, for somehow taking the goodwill of your series victory against the Padres and flushing it by doing the impossible and losing a series to the Washington Nationals. But congratulations. It took you 3 months, but you blew the wild card lead. You blew it. You blew it. And now anything that happens in the final week of the year, you literally need help. You need it. You can't do it on your own anymore. It's not all right in front of you anymore. Now, and this is the pathetic state of the franchise we root for, we're going to be glued to O'Neill Cruz and the Pittsburgh Pirates bailing the Mets out. That's the world we live in. Because the Mets, who somehow, someway, with a bloated payroll and all this talent that Carlos Mendoza continues to remind us they have somehow blown a huge wild card lead over teams that aren't even that good. They've allowed the Reds, who a week ago got swept by the A's in Sacramento, you allowed the Reds to tie you and essentially pass you in a wild card race. You've allowed the Diamondbacks, a team that was selling guys off, to essentially come back on you in a wild card race. It is remarkable. It is remarkable what this team has been able to accomplish. And the rock bottom nature of this weekend, which we will get into, we'll get into every detail. We'll first guess. We'll second guess. We'll do it all on this depressing edition of the Rico Brogna. To top it all off, the New York Mets didn't just play down to the Washington Nationals with their garbage defense over these three games. They went below them. They actually were worse than them. And here's the thing about a team that has been so bad for so long. We have no right to bitch about the Chicago Cubs getting swept by the Cincinnati Reds. Not a peep. Because the Mets' ineptitude allowed the Reds and the Cubs to be playing a series that even mattered to the Mets. And this is what we've been screaming about for a month, that you allowed teams like Cincinnati and Arizona to be so close that one hot streak can do you in. This is the Mets' fault. It's not the Cubs' fault. And the second thing is, you allowed yourself to be actually more inept than the Washington Nationals, who did plenty of things over the course of 3 days to show you why they're a last-place team. But you know what? They are a last-place team. They fired their manager. They fired their general manager. They're rebuilding. They stink. We all know it. You're the New York Mets. You have a payroll over $300 million. Mendy tells us how much talent's in the room. There's a lot of talent in that room. Just wait. Just wait. You'll see. And you manage, and this is top to bottom. This is even from the guys who hit in this series. Like Pete Alonso and Juan Soto, they hit in this series. They did. They performed in this series. Yet in some of the biggest moments, they forgot how to play defense. My boy Pete can't make a throw to first base. We'll get to that later. Juan Soto's overrunning a ball in right field. We'll get to that later. We saw this team not just play to the Washington Nationals, but play below the Washington Nationals. And the reality is, none of us should be surprised, because this is what they have done all season long. This is who they are. They screamed for months, hey, guys, we're not good. We don't have any urgency. Hey, pay attention, Mets fans. I know you're coming to the ballpark in record numbers. I know you're spending a lot of money. I know you guys spend a lot of time on social media, on podcasts, on WFN, talking about, hey, get to October. You never know. But we're gutless, and we suck, and we are who we are. For months, they've been a bad team. For months. And the idea, naively, that we all had, that some kind of faucet was going to be turned at the right time, because individually, guys have so much experience on their resume. Juan Soto's won a World Series. Lindor's been to the seventh game of a World Series. Alonso was a part of all those big moments last year. The idea that a faucet was going to be turned to save this team, they're not the 2000 Yankees. They're not. They're not a team with the pedigree that all of a sudden, because there's urgency in the air and there's a September chill in the air, they're going to wake up and play good baseball. Hasn't happened. And so before we get into each individual game, here's real talk. This team making the playoffs at this point would actually stun me. It's no longer like, hey, it's a coin flip. You never know. I would genuinely be stunned if 1 week from today, we're doing a Rico Bronya saying, hey, they made the playoffs. How'd they do that? I'd be stunned by that. And it's not because I believe the Reds are necessarily going to go sweep the Pirates and the Brewers. I mean, they could. It's on the table. You allow a team to get hot out of nowhere, things happen. Look what the Guardians just did. They went on a 10-game winning streak to get themselves right there in the American League Central. So the idea that the Reds can't finish this season on some crazy winning streak, that's on the table. But that's not why I'd be stunned for the Mets to make the playoffs. I'd be stunned for the Mets to make the playoffs because does any of us think, especially after what we just saw against the Nationals, does any of us think they're going to go to Chicago and they're going to win all three games? Does anybody think that? Does anybody think they're going to go to Miami and they're going to exercise the old demons that none of these players have a history with, but I guess they have the history of losing three out of four to them a few weeks ago. Does anybody think in their right freaking mind they're going to go to Miami and answer the call? And if somehow they do, if somehow the Mets end the season on a six-game winning streak, great. I mean, wow, we'll all be thrilled. But you know, just like I know, just like Carlos Mendoza knows, that's not going to happen. Because they are who they are. And for whatever reason, since the middle of June, they've been one of the worst teams in baseball. And this series proves it. Because you're at home. Everything right in front of you. Win your games. You make playoffs. Simple. And they lose to the Nationals on Saturday in what was the worst loss of the year. I can't wait to break that one down, especially how I consumed it. I didn't start that game till 10 o'clock at night. And most of the emails that I will not read, I'll read a lot of emails, but not these specific ones. They said, oh, Evan, we wish we could have texted you or notified you to not waste your evening watching this mess. We wish we could have warned you. Here's the good news. You didn't need to warn me. As I sat there at 11 o'clock at night, watching the Mets on DVR, deep down, without knowing the results, I knew. And I knew because like most people who are listening right now, you've watched every game. You've consumed those Tuesday night games, those Saturday afternoon games, those Thursday afternoon games, those Friday night games. You've consumed it all. And if you have, you knew. You knew not to trust this team. You knew that they would make it painful. And you knew they'd find a way to absolutely punch you across the face. And that's what happened over these last 2 days. Now, what do I blame? Before we get to the nitty-gritty details, first of all, it's the obvious thing. And despite some of the hot streaks they've had, like scoring 12 runs on Friday, they did not score runs. They went out on Sunday afternoon against Jake Irvin and Mitchell Parker and scored two runs and went 1-for-5 with runners in scoring position. And was there some bad luck? Sure. Jacob Young made believe he was Willie Mays. And that sucks. But it's still no excuse. It's still no excuse for this offense to score two runs against Jake Irvin, who came in with an ERA of 5.76. That's the ERA of the immortal Jake Irvin that you got shot down by through six innings. And Mitchell Parker, worse, 5.85. That's the guy who piggybacked him and pitched 3 2/3 scoreless innings. That's the guy. So the Met offense didn't do enough against crappy pitching. We certainly know about the defense. I mean, what we saw in the second inning on Sunday and the second inning on Saturday, I mean, my God, it was out of Little League. It was out of watching just bad minor league baseball. And the Mets presented it to you with their season almost on the line. But we see Francisco Lindor make a throw that was not perfect that Jeff McNeil can't catch, and then Pete Alonso's falling on his ass trying to back it up. You see Pete Alonso make another error. This one wasn't a flip to the pitcher on Sunday. It was just one that he couldn't field. Luckily, Clay Holmes made sure it didn't matter. But the second inning on Saturday, oh my goodness. Juan Soto overrunning a just simple single to right field by Riley Adams. Pete Alonso not being able to flip a simple ball to first base, causing Nolan McLain to jump. Thank God he didn't get hurt. Thank God nothing worse happened. But what happened is it led to two unearned runs. And it led to this offense being shut down for the first seven innings by Cade Cavalli, by Connor Pinkington, by Clayton Beter. That's who shut them down for seven innings on Saturday. So pitching, we'll get to it later. Pitching decisions, we'll get to it later. We're going to get to everything. Buckle up. But to define these last 2 days, they played garbage defense and they couldn't hit some of the worst pitching in baseball. Cade Cavalli had an ERA of nearly five. He was pulled after 76 pitches. And it took until the eighth and ninth inning for the offense to at least show some fight and rally. And even after they rally, they can't get the big hit. But let me start with Sunday's game, the most recent game. If you're listening live or for some reason you downloaded this thing because you want pain, or more likely you're a Yankee fan that wants to drink our tears, well, you came to the right place because there's a lot of freaking tears. Sunday's game was not just about Sean Manaea giving up a two-run home run to Nassim Nunez and Francisco Lindor's miscue that led to the Nationals' first run. Because after that, I thought Manaea did a decent job and probably could have gone deeper into this game, but Carlos Mendoza, living true to the tag team playbook, took him out once the right-handed part of the lineup came up in the fourth inning. And Clay Holmes responded. He did a really good job and met pitching, not just Clay Holmes, but Brooks Raley when he came in, Gregory Soto when he came in, and obviously Edwin Diaz, all did a fine job, making the big pitch when they needed to, because the Nationals had plenty of opportunities to add to their 3-1 lead, 3-0 lead, 3-1 lead, and eventually 3-2 lead. So the pitching really did a good job. Manaea made one mistake, or really two, giving up the double to Jorge Alfaro ahead of the count 0-2 with a runner on first, one out. That's a mistake. And obviously the two-run home run to Nunez. The difficult thing about tag teams is that starting pitchers are allowed to give up two runs. They're allowed to. They're even allowed to give up three runs. If they can go six innings, if they can pitch into the seventh inning, a six-inning, three-run performance is solid. When you're being taken out as quickly as Manaea was going to be taken out in this game, as quickly as Holmes was taking out the last game he started, it looks worse because you gave up three runs and you did it over a small sample size. So it was not a great performance by Manaea, but it really came down to two bad pitches. It came down to a miscue defensively. Obviously, that run turned out to be earned because of the Nunez home run. But in the moment, it felt like just another mistake that was handing the Washington Nationals offense. But the pitching on Sunday after Manaea did a really good job. We mentioned Clay Holmes. He ended up giving up four hits in this game, a lot of which were ground balls that was weak contact. Really, the only hard hit ball he gave up was the double to Josh Bell in the sixth inning that he was able to work through by striking out the next two guys and getting through that inning. Brooks Raley came in and struck out James Wood in a big spot. Soto gave up the leadoff hit and a stolen base, got back-to-back strikeouts, got through his inning, and obviously Edwin Diaz did his work. It came down to the offense. It came down to the missed opportunities. Go back to the first inning of this game. It is very tough to criticize Juan Soto offensively, even in this series. He was on base nine times in 14 plate appearances, but the caught stealing in the first inning and giving away an out right now with an offense that got shut down the night before and, spoiler alert, was going to be shut down all of Sunday was a huge miscue. You've got Nimmo and you've got Alonso coming up. Soto getting caught was a problem. The second thing is, and it's a Sunday, there's football going on. I watch both. It's challenging. I pause the baseball while watching the football. So it took me way too long to digest what I wrote down earlier in the morning, which is that Brandon Nimmo is batting third. Why? Why is Brandon Nimmo batting third? Brandon Nimmo, I hold responsible for Saturday's loss. I'll get to that when we get to Saturday's game. And you're moving him up in the batting order? What the hell is the thought around that? I didn't get that one at all. But Nimmo actually got one hit in this game, and it occurred right after Soto got caught stealing. So the Mets are giving an out away with their better hitters at the plate. That's a bad sign of things to come. And then we get to the third inning. The third inning was the inning where Luis Torrens led off with a double, and Cedric Mullins hit a lazy fly ball down the left field line, and Dalen Lyle, who is a Met killer, crashes into the fence. I thought it was a foul ball, but it clearly was a fair ball. He doesn't hold on to it, and Luis Torrens heads up baseball, goes all the way around and scores. I think at first he was tagging up, and then once he sees the ball loose, he runs. Very, I wouldn't even say smart baseball by Torrens. I would say it's basic baseball. You know, he did the obvious right thing. You know what I mean? Like, we give him credit for that. It's like if I get my tax bill, do I get credit for paying it? Or did I just do what's obvious and the right thing? I got a bill. I paid it. I don't get extra credit because I actually paid what I'm supposed to pay. So Luis Torrens scoring from second base as Dalen Lyle is in pain in left field. Great. That's what you're supposed to do. And then you have Cedric Mullins. And he is so effing lucky. So freaking lucky that the umpires decided to say, oh, we granted the Nationals a timeout. Because Cedric Mullins does four things that just cannot happen as a professional baseball player. And more importantly, cannot happen when you've been traded to a team in a pennant race and you're hitting 170. And you couldn't make the play and you got fooled on an inside the park home run. Like, when you're not doing things right, do the little things right. When you're not performing at a high level, can you do the basic things? So let's walk through Cedric Mullins, who is the recipient of the fly ball to left field where Dalen Lyle, you know, injured himself. Hopefully he's okay. I want that kid on my team. I know he killed the Mets for a few days, but the hustle, the speed, just everything. You want that guy on your team. Meanwhile, he's going to haunt us for the next 5 years. Be ready. Cedric Mullins sees the ball laying there. Run. Continue to run. Run, run, run. Make the Nationals pick up the baseball. They cannot call a timeout while the ball is sitting there in left field. They cannot call a timeout if you're running. They can only be granted this gift timeout by you stopping and acting like you're at the park going for a stroll. What the F was that? He literally stops between first and second. And I get it. He's concerned for Dalen Lyle. We're all concerned for Dalen Lyle. Here's the good news, Cedric. You're not an EMT. You don't work for the hospital. There's nothing you're going to do about it. You staring doesn't make him feel better. So run. They'll take care of him. You don't have to stop and stare in a left field. So think about this. And this was when I saw this replay out, I wanted to get out of my room and not watch sports ever again. I was thinking about it. The Jets were getting their ass kicked. Cedric Mullins is just standing there. I was literally thinking, I'm going to have a career change. I'm done. I don't want to watch this anymore. I don't want to look at sports anymore. I'm going to quit my job because if I don't watch sports, how can I do this show? I'm just going to leave. I'm going to go become a history teacher. I'm done. I can't do this. Because Cedric Mullins is standing there. He's standing there. He's just looking. He's looking in the left field. And then after one Mississippi, two Mississippi, three Mississippi, four Mississippi, I'm going to keep going because it was this long, five Mississippi, six Mississippi, he decides to run to second base. You were just standing there, and now you're running to second base where you're tagged out. There's a part of me that wishes the umpires didn't give this stupid baseball team we root for a lifeline. And they should have said, no, you're out. You're out because you did something dumb. You're out because you stood there and then you're like, oh, I'm going to go to second. Let me walk you through how ridiculously stupid that play was and how much it cost this team. If he just runs around the bases, much like Dalen Lyle did a night earlier on the inside the park home run, there is not a damn thing that the umpires can do until the Nationals field the ball and throw it in. It doesn't matter if he's laying there in left field. So Cedric Mullins, by stopping, not only does he only end up on first base, he allows the umpires to give the Nationals this timeout. And I still don't know where the timeout occurred. To make matters worse, after the umpires say, you know what, screw it, this whole thing was a mess, we're going to just put you back on first base. What happens? Lindor hits a line drive right at the first baseman. Josh Bell makes a great leaping catch. And because Mullins,
you can't make this up. I hate this team.
I really do. Because Mullins is on first base, it's a double play. If Mullins is on second base, probably not a double play. And by the way, it may be a base hit because I'm not sure where Bell is playing. He may be positioned very differently. If Mullins is on third base, same thing. And dare I say, if Mullins just rounded the bases like his hero, Daylan Lyle, who he was staring at while laying in left field, well, he would have scored and it wouldn't have mattered. So the umpires gave the Mets and Cedric Mullins this.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
You can't count on much these days.
No way, Jim. This is incredible.
But you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus.
Here we go. This time for real.
Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday, starting with a classic Week 1 NFC North rivalry between the Lions and the Packers. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today and count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
FanDuel's getting you ready for the NFL season with an offer you won't want to miss. New customers can bet just $5 and get $300 in bonus bets if you win. That's right, pick a bet $5, and if it wins, you'll unlock $300 in bonus bets to use all across the app. You can build parlays, bet player props, ride the live lines, whatever your style, FanDuel has you covered. The NFL season's almost here. The only question is, are you ready to play? Visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan to download the FanDuel app today and get started. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's Lifeline, and then the baseball god said, you don't deserve it. And it was taken away. And then what happens right after? Juan Soto rips a double into the right field corner. I mean, if you don't know in this moment, the Mets are destined to lose this game, choke away the wild card spot. I mean, you're not paying attention. I don't know what you're watching. Now, I admit I'm a sucker because even after that embarrassing sequence in the third inning, it's 3-1, and I'm holding out hope. Holding out hope that maybe the Met offense will do something. And then you get Jacob Young making a circus catch, really, against Brett Beatty. The thing about the Brett Beatty catch, the one in the fifth inning, was the one that he bobbled and juggled, was that it was amazing because of the fact that he bobbled it. Like, in terms of difficulty of catch, it wasn't that difficult. It was a good catch, but I think it was the circus nature of it that brought it to the next level. The catch he would make a few innings later, in which he literally robbed the game-tying home run from Francisco Alvarez, that's different.
What's up, guys? I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. We're heading towards the home stretch of the WNBA season, and there is so much to get into every episode. Twice a week, I'm joined by one of my amazing co-hosts as we dissect the biggest games, performances, and even some off-court drama. The playoffs are quickly approaching, and now is the best time to tune in. Who will come away as this year's champion? The competition is heating up, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Kristen Press.
And I'm Tobin Heath.
We're World Cup winners, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Every week, we sit down with the icons, disruptors, and game changers on the field and beyond it to talk victories, heartbreaks, and everything in between.
We've built a space where athletes, changemakers, and people creating the future of women's sports can show up and show off as their full, unapologetic selves.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
But they get a run on the Lindor home run. Great. They're within a run. They get a walk by Juan Soto. So a little bit later on here in this depressing edition of the Rico Bronya, we're going to pick a net negative. And there are so many candidates for the net negative when you lose two out of three to the Washington Nationals. Pete Hoffman right now is producing this while at MetLife Stadium getting ready to watch the Giants and the Chiefs. I don't know how much he can add to this, but I know he's going to laugh if he's listening. The guy I am most pissed at for this entire series is Brandon Nimmo. Brandon Nimmo was the guy who took every erection we were forming and decided to say, no, put it away. Every time the Mets had a chance to do something special, there was Brandon Nimmo to say, nah. In the third inning, right after Juan Soto's double, that whole sequence we talked about with Mullins being an idiot, Lindor lining out, Soto ripping a double, Nimmo has a chance with a runner on third and less than two outs to produce a run. And he flies out to left field. Buzzkill. After the Soto walk, which followed the Lindor home run, 3-2 game, runner on first, nobody out, bottom of the sixth inning, it's all set up for you. He grounds out. Just a nice little weak ground out to third base. Turned into a 5-4 force on Juan Soto. There's your buzzkill. Eighth inning, chance, flies out. Buzzkill. But I thought that moment, the moments in the sixth inning were so important. You had the Nimmo ground out. Pete comes through with the base hit. And now you've got McNeil and you've got Vientos against Mitchell Parker. Let me start with McNeil's at-bat. Did I want to pinch hit for Jeff McNeil? I thought about it. It was going through my mind because we did see this manager decide to pinch hit for Jeff McNeil a night earlier with Mark Vientos, and it worked. And when we talk about Saturday's game, I'll give you my take on it, but I'll give you a little preview. I didn't like it. I didn't want to pinch hit for Jeff McNeil, but it worked on Saturday. So now I'm thinking, all right, it's lefty-lefty, two on, one out, sixth inning. You've got your full complement of bench pieces. Now, you don't have Vientos because he's on deck because he's DHing in this game. But I did think about Marte. I said, you know what? If you go to Marte right now, you give yourself a favorable matchup, and you can improve your defense for the rest of the game because Luis Angel Acuña can come in and play second base. He lets McNeil hit and hits this just wussy pop-up to shortstop. And then Vientos, who gave us the great moment on Saturday, put together just a collectively awful Sunday by not only striking out, even though I don't really think he struck out, it was that borderline check swing call, but then he gets ejected. Mark, I get you pissed off. I'm pissed off. We're all pissed off. We're all angry. Who's not angry right now watching this? You can't get ejected. It hurts everybody. It changed the entire game. Mark Vientos being a baby. It did. And look, Chris Conroy, pipe down. I got Mendy after the game saying, "Well, you know, you got rules. You got the equipment rules. Can't throw your equipment." Whatever. It was a borderline call. He was pissy about it. Chris Conroy doesn't have to immediately throw him out. Rules are meant to be bent. But I'm more upset at Vientos than I am the umpire. If you mark Vientos, just pipe down. Don't even put yourself in a position to be on a check swing on a 2-2 garbage pitch in the dirt. Don't put yourself in that spot. Don't even offer at it. So that was another buzzkill. Then we got Francisco Lindor in the seventh inning after the two-out pinch hit by Marte when he did pinch hit with Marte for Cedric Mullins with two outs and nobody on in the seventh inning. No-brainer, since Cedric Mullins is a complete waste of time at this point, who I don't want to see anymore. I'm done with him. I'm done with Siri. I'd rather you put a lamppost out in center field and watch either of those two stiffs. I'm done. I don't need to see it. Just stick Jeff McNeil out there. Not that he's any good. Honestly, just give me Ronnie Mauricio at second base. That's literally where I'm at with center field. Center field is a wasteland for the New York Mets. Couldn't trade for Harrison Bader. Couldn't do it. Couldn't trade for Ramon Laureano. Couldn't do it. Let's go get Cedric Mullins. And let's hope that Jose Siri, who's, believe it or not, a bigger stiff than Mullins, let's hope he gets healthy. Great plan, David. Harvard education. I respect it. But Lindor, who hit the home run in the sixth, hacks at the first pitch and hits a lazy fly ball to right field. Then Jeff McNeil, who's 0 for 3, who has not hit much recently. He did have the one big hit against San Diego in the opener of the series, but outside of that, has been quiet. Gets a reprieve in the eighth inning when Alonso, who had two hits in this game, gets a two-out hit and goes to second on a wild pitch. Here's McNeil, another opportunity to tie the game. And what does he do? Weak ground ball to second base. Weak ground ball to second base. That should be his new nickname. Jeff Weak-Ass Ground Ball to Second Base McNeil. I am so proud of myself. You know why I'm proud of myself? As well as McNeil has played at times, as much as he should still be an everyday player, not saying he should be benched, he's not on the Siri Mullins level of I can't look at that human being ever again. But as well as he played at times, I never fell into the trap. I always remained firm. That's a guy you're going to trade during the offseason. And since the offseason, Rico, is literally 8 days away, because we know this team is not making the playoffs. If you suggest they are, you're delusional. God bless you, but you're delusional. That'll be one of our conversations, and I'm glad at no point in this season did I flip on that fact. He should be gone at the end of the year. And then the ninth inning, look, here's the thing about Alvarez getting robbed by Jacob Young. They put themselves in a position. Everything about where they are now is because they allowed it to be this close. You allowed it to be a 3-2 game in the ninth inning. You allowed a good defensive center fielder to make an amazing play. You allowed that moment to be your end. If you got clutch hits earlier, if you didn't make miscues earlier, and you had a 5-3 lead, it wouldn't have mattered. Just like if you didn't blow up since June, the Reds sweeping the Cubs wouldn't have mattered. You allowed it to happen. So when Jacob Young robs Alvarez of a game-tying home run, I mean, what is there left to say? It is what it is. It sucked. I wish he didn't make the play. I wish the game was tied. But let's be honest. Let's say he doesn't make the play. Let's say it's a game-tying home run. How are we going to lose? Because we know they're going to lose. And the reason we know they're going to lose is exactly what happened on Saturday, late afternoon, early evening. Let's get to that one. So when this offseason begins in a week, don't worry. For those that are new to the Rico Bronya, we don't go in a hibernation. We have a lot of off-season Rico Bronyas. And I'll tell you one of them, and this one is going to be so painful. I'm curious how many people are really up for the pain. How many people are up to sit there on the YouTube or to download it and listen to Pete and I go through the most brutal losses of this season? Because I have a list. I keep writing it down. I keep adding to it. We're going to go through every freaking game. We're going to go through all of it. And I'm going to give you a little spoiler. I'm sure something could happen in Chicago and something may happen in Miami, but what happened on Saturday in game two of this series, it's going to take a lot to knock this one off from being the worst loss of the season. So when I tell you that if Alvarez hit a home run and Jacob Young didn't rob him, don't worry, the Mets were going to lose anyway. Saturday's game is exhibit A on why I'm so confident in saying that. Let's go through this game. I wrote down notes because it made me laugh so much how pathetic this was. How absolutely mind-numbingly bad a baseball we saw on Saturday. So you've got Juan Soto just overrunning a simple single by Riley Adams in the second inning. Seemed innocent, but it turns a 1-0 game into a 2-0 game. Then you've got Pete Alonso on a very simple ground ball to first base by Brady House, not being able to correctly flip the ball to Nolan McClain. I mean, simple stuff. Can't make the play. Then, if there's any picture, any clip that defines how pathetic this team is, was the wild pitch by McClain that bounces right back to Alvarez, who slips and falls, and then Pete Alonso, and I think Nolan McClain slips and falls. I think it was McClain who fell. It was, I mean, it was a comedy of errors. So now a 2-0 game becomes a 3-0 game, all set up on an infield hit, a simple hit that was overrun by Juan Soto, a ground ball to first base that Pete Alonso cannot flip correctly to Nolan McClain. And even after Nolan McClain was basically going to get out of it down 2-0 because he struck out Nunez and Wood back-to-back, we get the wild pitch and then the double trip from Alvarez and McClain. And that follows what we saw in the first inning where McClain made the mistake of walking James Wood, throwing a wild pitch, giving up a blue pit, and then a ground out by Lyle turns into a cheap run. So before you're even comfortable, it's 3-0 Washington based on a little bit of bad luck and a whole lot of ineptitude. A ton of it. And then you have the Met offense. You've got a runner on second in the first inning for Buzzkill Nimmo, pops up in foul territory. You have two on and one out for Brett Beatty in the second inning with a 2-0 count, looking for a fastball against Cade Cavalli, grounds into a double play. Then you've got Lindor hit, Soto catcher's interference, two on, one out. Pete hits this little blooper, and Nunez makes this incredible play in which the Mets are going to be doubled off because Lindor and Soto didn't think Nunez could make the play. And so Nunez, who looked great defensively all series, made one miscue because he didn't need to rush it. He could have just gotten up, ran the second base, double play inning over. Instead, he throws to first base in a hurry. The throw is wild. So the Mets get this huge break because the Nationals, who also played inept, horrible defense, but luckily I'm not hosting the FP Santangelo, so who cares? They get a new break. It's like, all right, instead of it turning into this great defensive play that becomes a double play. Two on, two out for the buzzkill. And of course, the buzzkill is Brandon Nimmo, who very promptly falls behind in the count and grounds out. So if you're keeping track, Brandon Nimmo now leaving guys in scoring position in the first inning and the third inning. In the fifth inning, two on, two out for Pete. He flies out. In the seventh inning, they get the leadoff man on. And what happens? They do nothing. They finally come through in the eighth inning, and I admit, I absolutely admit, first guess Central, I didn't love pinch hitting for Jeff McNeil, especially with a slumping Mark Vientos. It's not like Mark Vientos has been hitting. McNeil and Vientos have been dual slumping. But you know what? Carlos Mendoza made the right move. It also opened my eyes to, you know what? Screw it. If there's a lefty on the mound and you got a good right-handed bat off the bench, Jeff McNeil is not above being pinch hit for. And a credit to Vientos, because that double behind in the count was the moment where I was like, wow, they may come back. This is when I still had some positivity. Mets won Friday. They're rallying despite the ugliness on Saturday. Here we go. And Francisco Alvarez in a big spot strikes out. But you know what? It's okay. It's a one-run game. They made Jose Ferrer throw a ton of pitches, the Nationals closer. They're asking for a second inning from him after he threw a million pitches. I went into 9-1-2 or 8-9-1 of the order coming up in the ninth with like a small level of confidence. Very small, but I had some confidence. And then you get the other Mendy move that I got to tell you, I didn't like this one either, but it worked. I'm being fair here. He pinch hits for Brett Beatty, who was 1-for-3 in the game, and as we pointed out, has actually hit lefties in the second half of the year. but he pinch hits for him with Luis Torrens. And I'm like, I don't know if I like this. I don't know if I love this, especially because Cedric Mullins is on deck and he stinks. And so if you want to pinch hit for anybody, why not pinch hit for Cedric Mullins? I'd rather see Beatty than Mullins if I'm making a choice. But right away, again, in this case, we'll get to other moves Mendy made, but in this case, Mendy's 2 for 2 because Torrens singles to left field. And they ask Cedric Mullins to bunt. I was good with the bunt. I had no issue with that at this point. Play for the tie at home. You've got Lindor. You've got Soto. You got Alonso. Here's the way I looked at the Mullins bunt when he got it down. I said, all right, you're going to give Lindor and Alonso a chance to tie and win the game. Because I assumed if you get Lindor out in a traditional way, you're going to walk Juan Soto to get to Pete Alonso, even though that means you're putting the winning run on base. That was my assumption. And obviously everything turned different because Lindor got hit by that 0-2 slider. So now with 2-1 and 1 out, they're forced to face Juan Soto. And as much as we all want Juan Soto to hit a 3-run home run and give us that defining Met moment, being behind in the count 0-2 and fighting one off to center against a really tough lefty in Ferrer, who he struck out against earlier, I thought was mighty impressive. And this will be the only time I do it. Good job by Jose Siri, who was pinch running at the time for Torrens, reading the ball well and being able to score from second and tying the game up. And I'm pumped up because now I think, naively, we're going to win this game. We're going to win this game. You get the Soto Lindor double steal. Oh, my God. They're going to walk Pete Alonso. But all right, fine. Bases loaded, 1 out for Brandon Nimmo and Starling Marte. And I apologize. This is now 1 o'clock in the morning while I'm watching this. And I don't know how I did it because on Saturday, I did an event with Tiki at MetLife Stadium. I then drove back to my house up in Westchester, picked up my wife, drove back to New York City, went out to dinner with a bunch of friends, and did it while the Met game was on, over, and I never knew a damn thing. I'm in this restaurant. They had one TV on. It was college football. It was 8 o'clock at night. The friends don't like baseball, which I should join, because I should hate baseball too. And so I'm sitting there having a good old...
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
You can't count on much these days.
No way, Jim. This is incredible.
But you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus.
Here we go. This time for real.
Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday, starting with a classic Week 1 NFC North rivalry between the Lions and the Packers. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today and count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
FanDuel's getting you ready for the NFL season with an offer you won't want to miss. New customers can bet just $5 and get $300 in bonus bets if you win. That's right, pick a bet $5, and if it wins, you'll unlock $300 in bonus bets to use all across the app. You can build parlays, bet player props, ride the live lines, whatever your style, FanDuel has you covered. The NFL season's almost here. The only question is, are you ready to play? Visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan to download the FanDuel app today and get started.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Time, having a drink, frozen margarita, eating some food, thinking to myself, wow, I'm going to get home without ever seeing, without anything being spoiled. This is amazing. Amazing. So where I am now is I watched the game 10:30 at night. I started it, whatever time it was. I'm watching this thing. I'm scoring this thing. I have no idea how this is going to end, but I know that all of you already know. And so as Brandon Nimmo comes to the plate, I'm like, man, this was the one time I thought this. Everyone in the world knows what happens in this game. There's either going to be a lot of really happy Met fans or a lot of Met fans who are probably thinking to themselves, what kind of schmuck is Evan? He's sitting there at 11 o'clock at night, 1 o'clock in the morning, watching a dumb Met game. They lost. And all they're going to do is break his heart. And the buzzkill himself, Brandon Nimmo, who is 0-for-4 at this point. And just real quick, I'd like to go over his 0-for-4 before we get to his strikeout in the ninth inning. Runner on second, two out in the first, foul pop-up. First and second, two out in the third, ground out. Let off the sixth, ground out. Runner on first, one out, ground out. And now we have the ninth. Bases loaded, one out, make good contact, the Mets win, and he strikes out. Let's just stop the conversation right here for 1 second. I know Cedric Mullins is a wonderful candidate. I know Jose Siri is a wonderful candidate. Brandon Nimmo is the net negative of this series. I have nothing personal against Brandon Nimmo. I like Brandon Nimmo. I am not Pete Hoffman, who irrationally hates him. I am just a fan who's being honest about what I witnessed. Brandon Nimmo had such a negative impact on this series that even arguing somebody else is not fair to the magnitude of garbage we saw from him. He left a country on base. In the ninth inning, after the building is moving and Soto tied the game and all he needs to do is make contact, he strikes out. So I already wrote it down. Now, if we could combine Jose Siri and Cedric Mullins and say Met center fielders, that's a fine net negative. I get it. But to me, it's Brandon Nimmo. I could sit here right now and just add up the amount of guys he left on base to really drive my point home, because it was unbelievable. I know he drove in a couple of runs in game one, but look what he did in the two losses. So once that happens, obviously my confidence level is gone. Mendy goes to Edwin Diaz to pitch the 10th inning. Oh, before we get to that, I also hated him going to Ryan Helsley. I got to call out the things that I hated that worked before we get to the things that I hated that didn't work. I hated going to Helsley in the ninth inning. At that point, I just would have gone to Edwin Diaz. But Ryan Helsley put together another quality outing. He issued the leadoff walk, but then got back-to-back strikeouts and got the third out on the great throw by Francisco Alvarez that eliminated that base runner and ended the inning. I didn't have a problem with taking McClain out. 92 pitches through five, I get it. Like, he hasn't gone much beyond that. So despite McClain settling in after the really unlucky second inning, no issue with that. I didn't love Dickie Lovelady even existing on this team, let alone coming into a big spot in the seventh inning and then getting through the eighth inning, but he did a great job. But the big issue that I did have that did not work out is after Edwin Diaz barely breaks a sweat in getting the three outs in the 10th inning, you have to bring him back for the 11th inning. You have to. You have an off day on Monday. These games matter way too freaking much. Because after Diaz gets three guys out and barely breaks a sweat, you've got 3, 4, 5 of the order coming up, including Daylen Lyle, who has been a pest. I want my best pitcher on the mound. I don't want to mess with soft contact Rodgers. So that was a huge mistake, in my opinion, by Carlos Mendoza. Maximize the amount of innings you can get from your best pitcher. The other thing is this. After Diaz pitches a great 10th inning, and it's the bottom of the 10th inning, and you have Luis Angel Acuna bunting because of the runner on second rule and because it's a tie game. No brainer, by the way. No issue with that. He lays down a bunt and he gets a base hit. So, and it was that weird play where it looked like he may have interfered with Riley Adams. So could have gone either way, but it works. And now you're set up with two on and nobody out. First and second, nobody out, because the bunt really didn't work, even though it sort of worked, because the base runner didn't go to third base. Francisco Alvarez may not be known for bunting. He may have never learned how to bunt. But my belief in 2025 is every single person outside of the absolute stars, obviously outside of the megastars, everyone needs to know how to bunt. Why? Situations like this. That's why. When there's two on and nobody out, bunting should be an option when it's a tie game in the bottom of the 10th inning. The fact that it's not, that bothers me. Alvarez is not good enough to be in the category of he never has to bunt. Honestly, this is the rare time where maybe I would have wanted Juan Soto to bunt. Not really, but you see what I'm saying? When there's two on and nobody out in the 10th inning of a tie game. And so when Alvarez wasn't bunting, my thought was, just don't ground into a double play. Just give me three opportunities to win this game in the bottom of the 10th inning. And he grounds into a double play. I mean, you cannot make it up. It is why every single freaking human being who plays Major League Baseball outside of the stars needs to learn how to bunt. And I was hoping Ronnie Mauricio was going to come through, but there was no chance of that. And then in the 11th inning, Cedric Mullins. This is why Cedric Mullins is a fair candidate for the net negative, despite Brandon Nimmo leaving nine countries on base and me already declaring that Brandon Nimmo is the net negative. Here's the problem. The more I talk about this game, the more I go through every aspect of this game, the more I want to hand out like five net negatives, including Cedric Mullins. Because on that fly ball to center field, off the bat of Dalen Lyle, either catch it, which I thought it was catchable, not the easiest, or don't let it bounce past you and turn into an inside the park home run. What should happen on a play like that after you're given a gift from the gods where C.J. Abrams is trying to advance to third base on a ground ball to third base and basically got benched because of it, you can field it off the wall, second and third one out. And instead, Cedric Mullins, who's good at nothing, he does have a nice smile, but outside of that, he's good at nothing, allows that baseball to go over his head, bounce past him, and turn into an inside-the-park home run that will define the ineptitude of this season. That's what that inside-the-park home run was. It defines the ineptitude of this season. And look, they had a chance in the bottom of the 11th. You know, Cedric Mullins came up. He had a chance to hit a two-run home run and make everybody happy. He didn't. He foul-popped up. Francisco Lindor had a chance to be a hero like it was 2024. He didn't. He flied out to left field. And as far as Juan Soto's concerned, Juan Soto came up in the 11th inning. He had already gone 2-for-4 in this game, including the game-tying RBI single on a bloop. I know he committed the brutal error in the second inning. Juan Soto walked, as far as I'm concerned, because that 3-2 pitch I thought was off the plate. And one thing we know about Juan Soto, he's got a great eye, and he ain't swinging at pitches that are off the plate. So we're going to kill him for striking out looking on a ball that was outside? I'm not killing him for it. I'm killing everyone else. I mean, anyone else you want to go through, sure. And when that game ended at 2 a.m., what a sick feeling I had. Now, let me get to some of your emails. Scott, speaking of 2 a.m., says, Evan, it's 2 a.m. He actually wrote this email at 2:07 a.m. Sunday morning. It's 2 a.m., and I was just wondering what inning you're up to, and I feel helpless knowing I can do nothing to save you from what you're about to witness. I also wonder how long it will take you to fall asleep after, if at all, and if you need Xanax or NyQuil to pull it off. So fill us in during tomorrow's Rico. It took me about an hour. I laid there angrily for a while. Then I checked everything else in baseball. So I saw the Reds one pit in my stomach. I think I saw the Diamondbacks one pit in my stomach. I saw the whole Guardian-Tiger situation. And then I said, I have to watch something completely unrelated to sports. And so I put on the former TGIF classic, Step by Step, which I've been watching a lot of lately. And it took me an hour, and I finally went to sleep. Brutal. Kyle writes, guys, Saturday was a tough L. The early defensive blunders caused us to be down early. Not hitting until the eighth inning doesn't help either. But my biggest concern is going to Tyler Rogers in the 10th inning. I really think that Mendy should have kept Diaz in for an extra inning. He only threw 7 pitches in the ninth and was lights out. Before that, he threw 15 pitches in the series finale against the Padres. Am I the only one who thought he should have come back for the 10th inning? You're not the only one. All right, we also got an email from Deanne who writes, Diaz, forget one more. You can't get a second inning out of Diaz after only 7 effing pitches? Unreal. No, you are not alone. That was a bad decision, quite frankly. Because here's the other negative, and I'll get you into the weeds on this a little bit. Ryan Helsley and Tyler Rogers. Hear me out on this. Obviously, we trust Tyler Rogers more than Ryan Helsley, despite what happened on Saturday night. Tyler Rogers is more equipped to come into the game in the ninth inning, and Ryan Helsley's more equipped to come into the game in the 11th inning. Why do I say that? Ryan Helsley is a no-contact kind of pitcher. And with the runner on second, nobody out rule, you'd rather have a pitcher pitching who's less likely to give up contact, because contact can turn into bad stuff. In fact, in the 10th and 11th and 12th inning, contact can turn into a run without you ever giving up a hit. So a couple of things I would have done differently. I would have gone to Rogers instead of Helsley when he went to Helsley, because it was the ninth inning, which I like to call a normal inning. I would have felt better actually going to Helsley with the extra inning rules than Tyler Rogers. That's number one. Number two, yes, Edwin Diaz only threw 7 pitches. He should have been asked to pitch a second inning. You don't know what Sunday holds, and you know you have an off day Monday. So, no, it's brutal. Matt writes, as Lyle rounded second on the inside the park home run, my sick 3-year-old son projectile vomited all over me. Wow. What timing. Mendy not sticking with Diaz after 7 pitches is the most mind-boggling decision he's ever made, and he's made several. I like him, but what the F, man? I'd like to know more about your son vomiting right in that moment. That is... So the game ended up being about a 3-hour game, so I guess that was about 6:30, 7 o'clock at night when that happened. Damn. David writes, I'm convinced that if David Stearns' decision, Mendy will be here forever. I'm also sure the only way the Mets win a World Series under this manager is to have the best team by far. Sometime in the future, maybe this offseason, maybe next year, our owner will decide we need a professional manager and force Stearns to switch managers or lose his job. The difference in the final wild card spot will be because they have Francona and we have Mendy. Mike writes, Evan Hoff, big fan of the Rico. Juan Soto had the misplay in the second, which led to runs and elevated McClain's pitch count, ending his night early. On the inside the park home run, the postgame showed Juan casually jogging as the ball bounded away from Mullins. Also, to end the game, Soto strikes out, setting a new career high in strikeouts and is on pace for his first season of his career with an under 400 on-base percentage. Also, Pete Alonso has turned into Chuck Knobloch. Enjoy the show. Fire Stearns, LGM. Yeah, that it's a great point about the Soto backup. Like, not only does Mullins misjudge the ball when it bounces off the fence, but you have Juan Soto not doing a good enough job of backing it up. You're right about that. And that's huge. That run matters. I mean, that's the difference. Think about how different you could have managed the 11th down by one run as compared to 2 runs. I would have bunted with Mullins. I'll start with that. I would have bunted with Mullins down a run in the 11th. Runner on third, Lindor, Soto, Alonso, let's go. And obviously everything can't play out the same way, but Lindor flat out the left field. So that second run scoring was huge. So not backing up by Soto was a huge miscue. And that's why, look, I think the net negative is Brandon Nimmo. I've already written down it's official. Congratulations, Brandon. You're the net negative of this series. Picking the Rico, I'm the man right now, star of the series. I want to get that right because that's what Giordani said, is very challenging because Juan Soto was 5-for-10, was on base 9 times in 14 plate appearances, drove in 4 runs, including a dramatic game-tying RBI single in the 9th inning. But there's a lot of negatives attached to it. The error in the 2nd inning, not backing up the inside the park home run. Many will bring up the strikeout in the 11th. I don't put as much stock in that one because I did think it was off the plate. But those negatives, which are legit and can't be denied, even the caught stealing, throw that in there. That's tough to make him the star of the series. I agree. I mean, I don't want to go with Francisco Lindor either. You know, Pete Alonso was 5-for-11 in this series, bunch of hits. I can't go with him either, considering the big error he made. So I got to admit, I'm having a very difficult time really picking the Rico, I'm the man right now, star of the series. I think it's Soto, and I think that's like the easy answer, but are those miscues enough to say you can't make him the star? And then if it's not him, I don't know where you go. Edwin Diaz? I mean, I guess I could do that. Edwin Diaz pitched in game 2. He pitched the scoreless 10th inning that we just talked about. Should have come out for the 11th, didn't. And then came back in game 3 of this series and pitched a dominant 1-2-3 ninth inning to keep it tied. Honestly, it's Soto or Diaz, in my opinion. I don't think it's anybody else. I mean, Clay Holmes did a good job out of the bullpen, I guess. Nolan McClain, I thought, did a pretty good job limiting the damage that the defense set up, going 5 innings, allowing 3 runs, only 1 earned. I mean, Ryan Helsley actually pitched 2 scoreless innings in this series. Brooks Raley came in 2 games and pitched well. I mean, a lot of guys in the bullpen pitched well. So the bullpen has a lot of candidates. So it's either Soto or Diaz. I don't know, Hoff, if you're available to speak. Pete Hoffman is doing a great job multitasking. He is not only keeping the Rico Bronya on the air, episode 553. Mets lose to the Nationals, lose all of their control of the wild card race. But he's also getting ready to produce Giant Football. So I don't know if he could add anything to this right now because he is busy. But it's one of the two guys. It's Juan Soto or Edwin Diaz. And you know what? Screw it. I'm going to give it to Edwin Diaz. I'm sorry, Juan. I apologize. You can't make those kinds of miscues. The error on Saturday was a killer. Not backing up, killer. Base running out, killer. So as productive as Juan Soto was at the plate, and he was, it's about everything. And I would say Edwin Diaz did everything he could to get the Mets 2 victories. And when you really think about it, pitching a scoreless inning with the Manfred man on second base, that is not easy. Giving this offense a chance to win in the bottom of the 10th inning. And then obviously what he did Sunday. So Edwin Diaz, congratulations. When the hell is the last time he won that award? I'm looking this one up. He's had a great year, but I guess it's tough for a closer to win it. The first series of the year. That was the last time. That was the only time. The series against the Astros where they lost 2 out of 3, and he pitched a 1-2-3 inning in game 2 that got the save. So congratulations, Edwin. You've had a great year. You deserve it. So Edwin Diaz is the Rico, I'm the man right now, star of the series. Hopefully, the Mets are going to make us look like idiots. Oh, Hoff is right there. Do you agree with Edwin Diaz, or would you have said Juan Soto?
I would say Juan Soto because Edwin Diaz didn't get to pitch the inning that he needed to in the 10th. That's why.
Not his fault.
But it is, though. He wasn't available.
Let me ask you a question.
What?
Who is Tiki in the Giant booth right now?
Tiki, are you here? Oh, no, he just walked away.
Oh. Is John Schmelk there?
Schmelk is here. Yeah, Schmelk, get over here.
Ask John. John Schmelk is a very respectful baseball mind. Right? He is a Yankee fan. He can be honest.
The question is this. Who deserves the Rico I'm the Man star right now? Is it Juan Soto or Edwin Diaz?
I think it's Pete Hoffman for doing 2 jobs at the same time.
Yeah. Do I get a raise for that, guys?
I mean, you should get a raise from the Giants for that. That's for sure. We don't have much money over here. I give you, you know what I can give you? Tickets to a game next year at Citi Field.
I don't want them. You could take them back. By the way, the Mets, okay, so I just want, the Mets have been throwing out congratulations to the fans for setting the attendance record. I'm sorry. This was a botched season. I don't want to hear how great the fans showed up. The Mets didn't. And here's the other thing that I've read just now too. I've been dying to tell you. Jeff Passan threw this tweet out. Get ready for this one. Do you know the last time the Cincinnati Reds were in a playoff spot this year?
The last time, probably like April 1st or something.
You're a little bit, April 5th.
Yeah.
So they are doing the full Atlanta Braves to us right now.
They're not, though, because they got swept by the A's last weekend. We're doing it. This is our fault. This is, like, give the Reds credit for sweeping the Cubs, and I do give them credit. This is all the Mets' fault. This is a Met choke. In 2022, the Braves played unconscious. I don't even think it was a Met choke till the very end. This right here in 2025 is a full choke job by this franchise.
No, it's pathetic. And basically what the Mets proved again this weekend is they're good enough to be and hang around with teams. They're just not good enough to win. They're 0-67 going into the ninth inning. I mean, they are freaking awful. It's pathetic. And I'm going to head out of here because there's a lot of chatter going on.
I got you. Here's the thing, and I want everyone to realize this, okay? Even if the Mets go 6-0 in this road trip to end the year and they finish the season 86-76, but the Reds go 6-0, the Mets deserved it. They brought it upon themselves. So as much as I'm going to sit there watching Pirates-Reds in a three-game series in Cincinnati and then watch potentially Reds-Brewers, because God knows the way the Mets are at, they could be eliminated before the final weekend of the year, understand that the Pirates and the Brewers owe us nothing. The fact that the Mets put themselves in this spot where they not only need to win, but they need help is beyond embarrassing. And don't look now. Like, we're focusing on Cincinnati because the Cincinnati Reds have pulled even with the Mets. The Arizona Diamondbacks are a game back. The Diamondbacks. So it's not just they got to now pass the Reds again. They got to hold off Arizona. I mean, there's a shot when this is all said and done. And I don't think this is crazy the way this team plays. They may go to Miami out of it. They could. Would it really surprise anybody if they end up getting swept in Chicago and the Reds win every game? Would that really surprise anybody? And by the way, if that happened, the Mets are out of it. They would be eliminated before even going to Miami. Beyond pathetic. And look, it does not help that this manager continues to repeat the same loser line over and over again. Hey, Carlos, why do you believe in it? Well, we got the talent. You got the talent. You've been terrible for 3.5 months. And if there was ever a day, if there was ever a day for you to come out and say, you know what? We stink. We need every single person to look themselves in the mirror and ask themselves, hey, you want to wake up? This is the moment to do it. And the Jets. And the Jets. And the Jets. And the Jets. Let's get to some of your emails.
Oh, real quick. Just a quick thing. Tacoma just put it out there. The race for the final National League wildcard berth, the Mets are still percentage-wise more likely to make the playoffs than the Reds, according to whatever this postseason berth thing that he has up here.
Who just gives saying. A shit?
Hey, listen, sometimes you got to look at analytics. That's what everyone else does.
Look at analytics. Look, I'll make this simple. The Reds are playing the Pirates at home and a Brewer team that may have everything wrapped up the final weekend of the year. The Mets are playing the Cubs, who just embarrass themselves, and the Marlins, who always want to stick it to the Mets. Like, I feel much better about the Reds outplaying the Mets in the final six games than the Mets outplaying the Reds. So you can give me whatever analytic, whatever stat, whatever number you want to give me. I'll say it again. I would be very surprised. I would be stunned if we're sitting here and the Mets are a playoff team after all this. And I heard what Gary Cohen tried to do at the end of the game, equate this to 1999. You know, and look, in 1999, after they got swept by the Philadelphia Phillies and they dropped out of a playoff spot, which they did, I was not confident. The Mets had choked a year earlier. They were doing it again. It's not like I went into the final homestand of the year with confidence, but they were going home. They were going home to play a six-game homestand. And they ended up losing, believe it or not, two out of three in the first three games to Atlanta. And then, because they got lucky, and that's the key, they were very lucky in 1999 that teams ahead of them lost. They obviously swept the Pirates the final weekend of the year, got enough help to get to the one-game playoff, and we know the rest is history. They went on a run. I do not feel at all like that's going to happen at all. I mean, they're going on the road. And I got a fact for you. You want to hear a fact? The New York Mets, let me pull this up because I wrote this down. I couldn't wait to talk about it at some point on the Rico Bronya because I knew our season was going to come down to this. I knew our season was going to come down to a brutal six-game road trip. The New York Mets have had 13 road trips this season. 13. Okay, this is number 14. It is the last road trip of the year. They have tied seven of them. So, like, for example, their first road trip of the year against Houston and Miami, they went 3-3. That's a tie. Their second road trip of the year in Sacramento and Minnesota, they went 3-3. That's a tie. They had a four-game road trip in Washington. They went 2-2. That's a tie. Okay, a lot of ties, a lot of 3-3s, a lot of 2-2s. So again, 13 road trips. Do you know how many winning road trips the New York Mets have had? Winning. They won more games than they lost on a singular road trip. The answer is one. One. That road trip was all the way back, I think in late May, when they split with the Dodgers, 2-2, and then swept the Colorado Rockies in Denver. They went 5-2 on that seven-game road trip. Outside of that, here are the Met road trips in 2025. 3-3 in Houston and Miami, 3-3 Sacramento and Minnesota, 2-2 Washington, 3-3 St. Louis and Arizona, 2-4 the Bronx and Boston, 5-2 Dodgers-Rockies, 1-5 Atlanta-Philadelphia, 0-3 Pittsburgh, 3-3 Baltimore-Kansas City, 3-3 San Francisco-San Diego, 0-3 Milwaukee, 3-3 Washington and Atlanta, and then more recently, 3-7 Detroit, Cincinnati, and Philadelphia. They have had one winning road trip this entire season. I don't know, and God bless you if you do, I don't know how anybody thinks that all of a sudden now, yeah, they're going to have a winning road trip. And by the way, a winning road trip may not be good enough because going 4-2 means the Reds have to go 3-3 against Pittsburgh and Milwaukee. Good luck with that. Matt in Brooklyn writes, do they want to win? I love the Rico. Thanks for the therapy. Simple question. The Mets want to win. Like, what's the incentive for them to make the playoffs? All of their money is guaranteed, so who cares if they don't make it? They get an extra few weeks in Cabo and more time with the family. The team doesn't compete, and I'm starting to wonder if they really care all that much. At the end of the day, what are they really playing for? Matt, you could say that about any team. Everyone makes a lot of money. Everyone would get more vacation time. I know it feels that way. It looks like they don't care. I would stop it right there. It looks like they don't care. When you're playing bad baseball, that's the way it looks. Anthony writes, Mullins and Siri. I never want to see either one of them in a Mets lineup ever again. Well, it looks like Tyrone Taylor is going to be activated. And if that's the case, honestly, just give him the job. I think you got two options. Tyrone Taylor or play McNeil in center and give Ronnie Mauricio one last shot. I know that feels weird because the guy's barely played. Or you play Jeff McNeil in center, DH Starling Marte, Vientos at third, Beatty at second. But I am with you. I do not think that Jose Siri or Cedric Mullins provides anything. Brian writes, guys, now that the season is over, I've been thinking back, and I can't shake the sense that there were deeper issues in the clubhouse that never got addressed, particularly around leadership and chemistry. One moment stands out when Soto publicly called Starling Marte the team's captain. We talked about that on the Rico. Given how fans and the media often frame Lindor narrative, this was a bold statement, one that seems to suggest more beneath the surface. I observe a lot of body language throughout the season. Even when Soto seemed more settled, I noticed his interactions with Lindor didn't shift. For example, after either one hit a home run, their low five was about as lukewarm as I've ever seen. Yet they both have enthusiastic celebratory gestures with other teammates. That contrast felt telling. There's something else. Soto's performance surged in June, coincidentally or maybe not. That's also when things seem to begin the club's decline. I'm not saying one caused the other, but the timing is curious. I think that two players on one team not liking each other is very much on the table and maybe even likely, because think about your own lives. Do you love everyone you work with? So I don't care if that's the case. The only way I care, and this is what Brian's suggesting, is that that is what is causing this team's failures. Is that what's causing the team's failures? Brandon Nimmo leaving a country on base is caused by that. Their defense playing like garbage is caused by that. Mendy making mind-numbing decisions is caused by that. The starting pitching not going deep enough in the games is caused by that. Look, I'm very consistent, whether it was the negative of 23, the positive of 24. I think we make too much out of clubhouses, like it's an episode of 90210. I think you need to perform. And this team, unfortunately, has not performed. And now we sit here on the precipice of the slow death being completed over this six-game road trip. I would love to see this team respond and beat Chicago and beat Miami and go 6-0 and at least give themselves the opportunity for Cincinnati to get tripped up. I just don't see it. I don't see any of it. Man, I think things are going to continue to get bad. Like, if they were coming home, there would be that hope like in 1999. I don't think there's much hope. In fact, I think they're going to lose on the road. I don't even think we're going to be sweating out Cincinnati games. I think they're going to take it out of their hands by losing and completing this mind-numbingly pathetic collapse that honestly none of us saw coming. It took a very long time for any of us to believe that they were actually going to miss the playoffs. Took me a while, but I am fully there. I do not believe this team will make the playoffs, and unfortunately, I believe we're headed towards a very difficult road trip where things are going to get worse. But we'll be there every step of the way. We'll do Ricos after each game. This is like playoff time, and hopefully, by some miracle, I'm wrong. But right now, it does feel like the death of a season. And it felt like Saturday night was really that death moment. And then Sunday, we were put in the coffin. Either way, we appreciate you listening. We appreciate you downloading. Make sure you subscribe to the Rico. We will be doing plenty of them over the course of this final road trip in Chicago and in Miami. And then probably beginning our off-season Ricos very, very soon. As much as we don't want that, I don't know how anyone could deny that's where we're headed. Thank you to Pete Hoffman and everyone with the New York Giants putting up with him. I know that was very obnoxious. Sit back, relax, enjoy bad football. Now I got to go think about the Jets. How depressing was that? Oh, my God. I hate sports. I really do. Thanks for listening to another amazing edition, right, of Rico Bronya. Goodbye.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Rico Bronya podcast. It's amazing, isn't it? Make sure you download it now to keep it on you at all times.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
You can't count on much these days.
No way, Jim. This is incredible.
But you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus.
Here we go. This time for real.
Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday, starting with a classic Week 1 NFC North rivalry between the Lions and the Packers. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today and count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
FanDuel's getting you ready for the NFL season with an offer you won't want to miss. New customers can bet just $5 and get $300 in bonus bets if you win. That's right, pick a bet, bet $5, and if it wins, you'll unlock $300 in bonus bets to use all across the app. You can build parlays, bet player props, ride the live lines, whatever your style, FanDuel has you covered. The NFL season's almost here. The only question is, are you ready to play? Visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan to download the FanDuel app today and get started.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.